Monitoring the plunging price of oil as worries about Europe's economy deepen.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Can decent U.S. economic growth help perk up Europe, or will Europe's flagging economy drag the rest of the world in the wrong direction? Things are looking droopy in Europe today, with the European Union lowering its forecast for growth across the countries that use the euro. What had been a prediction of 1.7% growth next year, now down to 1.1%. The BBC's Andrew Walker joins us from London. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
You look through all this data and you can see this weakness in France, Italy, other places. But Andrew, what accounts for the extra pessimism, do you think, coming from Germany?
It is striking, isn't it? I think in the case of Germany, there's an element of Germany being vulnerable to the slowdown in China. But at the same time, you have to say that Germany is also vulnerable to the weakness in the rest of the Eurozone, because a significant share of their exports do go to their European neighbours.
The prediction now, given this anemia coming from across the Eurozone, is that the European Central Bank will do something about that. What do you think, later this week?
There is indeed a meeting of the European Central Bank's Main Policy Committee on Thursday. Most people are thinking that, if anything, they're going to give a bit more time to see whether the measures they've only just started implementing are going to work before they go down the path of full-on quantitative easing, which certainly is a possibility. The other thing worth bearing in mind is that the latest figure for Eurozone inflation was slightly higher than the previous month, and that might also encourage the European Central Bank to wait and see a little bit longer.
BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker in London, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
One bright spot in Europe, Ireland, where growth next year was revised upward. The forecast for Greece stayed the same. The other big economic story this morning, the price of oil, crude oil. Saudi Arabia can pump more or less oil, but separately it can raise and lower its prices. Now the Saudis have decided to cut prices for the U.S., even as its prices in Asia are being hiked. Oil analysts can't decide if this is meant to undercut America's burgeoning domestic oil industry or if it's a way to preserve market share for the Saudis. The effects have been dramatic. Crude oil using the West Texas benchmark is down another 2.5% this morning to $76.79 a barrel. If it gets below $70, domestic production in the U.S. would start to dwindle. Now let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London down 0.2% at the moment. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down. Travel company Priceline will report third-quarter profits later today. That report should give us a glimpse into Priceline's strategy of growing by buying up other companies. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
William Shatner was Priceline's spokesman for years.
Book your hotel on Priceline, and you can save up to 40% off.
Still, Priceline is not following the script of Shatner's Star Trek days, says Gary Leff, who writes the blog viewfromthewing.com.
Well, it's not just William Shatner, but the whole company has to boldly go where no travel company has gone before. They haven't quite figured out how to teleport themselves into the future of online travel.
But they are trying. Priceline seeks out new companies to buy, like the dinner reservation website OpenTable. Basically, Priceline is trying to be your one-stop shop for everything. Your plane ticket, hotel, and restaurant reservation. Morningstar analyst Adam Fleck says it could work.
So Priceline's really trying to expand how much of the wallet it can capture from the consumers and keep them on a Priceline-branded website.
Maybe not a bold strategy, but enterprising. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
It's common for CEOs or other high-powered senior managers to sign non-compete agreements, meaning they can't go to work for a competing company soon after leaving the job. But increasingly, these agreements are actually filtering down to lower-wage service sector workers. Note recent headlines that Jimmy John's required its sandwich shop employees to sign these agreements. Nova Sappho has more.
The news that Jimmy John's makes its workers sign non-compete agreements was, well, not news to Danny Davies. He worked at a Jimmy John's shop for a couple of years.
They ask everyone to sign it when you get hired.
He says neither he nor his colleagues took the contract seriously. That is, until they considered leaving and got a job elsewhere.
I mean, I've known people that have done this. They start working somewhere and keep their job secret, just in case.
In case the franchise owner came after them. Now, you might be thinking, how is this legal? Well, it very much is, depending on where you live.
Non-compete law is essentially state law. and it varies somewhat significantly among states.
Michael Rosen is a partner at the law firm Foley Hoag in Massachusetts, a state with fairly permissive non-compete rules. Rosen has worked on cases about such agreements both for employers and employees. And he says there is a place for non-compete contracts in business, even for low-level workers, such as those at a high-tech firm, for example, who can access confidential code.
Generally, the legitimate interests that would justify enforcement are protection of trade secrets or confidential information and protection of goodwill.
But over the last 20 years, the use of non-competes has spread. They've become common in many firms in various industries, says Aurélie Lobel. She's a professor at the University of San Diego School of Law, and she wrote a book on the subject. It's called Talent Wants to Be Free.
We've seen them expand to jobs like yoga instructors and camp counselors. I teach cases about welders who can't move to a competitor.
Lobel says part of the reason is a shift in business culture.
Today, it's really human capital that is what creates value. And companies have this impulse that the way that they're going to keep people is by cutting off their outside opportunities.
Instead of doing that, Lobel says, employers should be incentivizing employees to stay. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
If a portable version of our stuff would add to your life in some way, there's a Marketplace app for free in the Apple and Google stores. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.